you for now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Yeah, Cabbie, Ties, Woo, Connecticut.
Hold on, took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? Welcome to the cookout. You already know what's going down. For the next 120 minutes, we got y'all locked and loaded. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. The call-in number today is 929-477-2759. My arch nemesis is right here with me, calling in by way of the region of Connecticut. The sky gets gloomy. They call him the villain. Barry J., welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Villain, he wears a mask just to cover the raw flesh, a rather ugly brother with flows that's gorgeous. I'm in the building, I'm in the house, I'm ready to rock and roll. We got a lot to talk about. Shout out Sports City, our family, our friends, our connects, everybody who's with us is down with us. If you ain't down with us, we love you still, but, you know, step to the side, the cooks are cooking. What up, TP?
You already know, run with us or get ran over, that's it, and a lot of interesting stuff going on in the sport world today, and, man, I can't believe how this whole week just went down, but we got to talk about this week that's upcoming and what's going on in the world today. How about this, right? I can't believe how yesterday and the day before went down with this Final Four, because this is absolutely crazy. Well, at least one team is, like, doing their thing. Another team was, you know, already posed to be here, but we had to see them make the move here. But, like, impressive run by Houston, and UCLA is on that Cinderella stuff. Like they have the glass slipper on. Like, I don't know if John Wooden came out of nowhere and just said, my ghost is just going to fly around, and I got the pixie dust off of, you know, that old parquet floor out there in Westwood, but how about this Final Four and the run that these teams have been on and the ups and downs and the environment as well?
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. First of all, I have to publicly apologize to the Pac-12. I was killing them for over a month on this show, on the Timeless Sunday brunch, on Sundays at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, on the College Tailgate, Saturdays at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I was killing the Pac-12 because I felt they were hot garbage. Lo and behold, that conference held it down and got one team at least into the Final Four in UCLA and had a couple teams in the Elite Eight and a Sweet 16. So UCLA, the slipper still fits, going on a great run, had a tremendous game against Michigan. Listen, they're one of their better players shooting 1-for-10 doesn't help Michigan get over that hump. It did come down to the last shot and the kids shot a brick, but give them credit. They held a very good Michigan team under 50 points. Gonzaga, right where they're supposed to be. I mean, TP, we've talked about it. This is probably one of the best college teams we've seen in a couple years, wire to wire, impressive. They do everything really well. They don't do a couple things good and a couple. They do everything really good. So no surprise there. Baylor, another team that we thought Baylor and Gonzaga were the two best teams in college basketball, and here they are, lo and behold, in the Final Four where we thought they belonged. Houston, 1 year too late. I mean, God, man, like I had them going deep last year, and they broke my heart. But, you know, they're a good defensive ball club, well-coached. I'm glad to see them come out and really get into the Final Four and get that program back on the map since Jamma Slamma and getting to the Final Four. So it's an interesting Final Four. You got some, you know, you got the legendary team in UCLA, 11 championships, and then you got the two best teams in college basketball flanked by a really good and surprising Houston team that made a good run out of the AAC, another conference that we've killed. But, hey, they put in work, they put in the business, and they're in the Final Four. So congrats.
Yeah, I'm not going to get off of this high horse. Like, I am going to continue to slander the Pac-12, but this is an epic run by UCLA, epic work by Oregon State. I have to give them a ton of credit for what they've done in this season to make the run to represent the Pac-12. But I'm not running from that, saying that they're almighty and great right now. For them to be a part of the five power conference, you know, conferences across the board, like, this is the one successful season where they can threaten to get a championship. Do you know the last championship that went to the Pac-12? Was 1997, the last time that this has happened for UCLA, for them to win a national championship, was 1995. In the words of Lil Wayne, I leave you missing like the messing old Brannans. Okay, so like that's been a long time ago, a long time ago. So like, yeah,
and that was a very good UCLA team. By the way, Ed O'Banion and company, right? That was a really good UCLA team.
I leave you missing like the messing old Bannons. Like that, I'm trying to tell you something. Like, this is Toby Bailey, Tyus Edney, all of these guys. Like yes, like I give them credit for what they're doing and the matchup that they have right now. I feel like John Wooden is like, well, if you don't get it done, then my mystique is still around. But if you get it done, welcome, Mark, because you deserve it. Like you get to the national championship, if you let this slip through your fingers again, you got as close as getting up there with North Carolina and let North Carolina just cruise by you. You have the full team right now to get it done, like from 1 through 5. Even the bench players that come in, they're able to contribute. They all believe in each other, and they are unselfish, the best brand of basketball I've seen. But UCLA is playing off of that sheer, like, we have nothing to lose, and we have talent here. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, they can get it done 1 through 5 as well, and you don't know which one of them is going to get cooking. So that's an interesting matchup, especially the way that UCLA put it together last night and beating Michigan. You're talking about one conference in the Pac-12. I was one of them people right along with you talking junk. Let me talk about the other conference that I was telling you about talking junk about, the Big Ten. Michigan was the last standing team out of that conference to represent that conference and fell short up against UCLA. And I'm not bad-mouthing UCLA on what they were able to do. They went on a historic run. I've never seen a play-in team get this far as the Final Four. They are rocking right now. Michigan, being known as the top three team majority of this season, Michigan, outside of the national championship tournament starting, they had a game at home in the regular season. When they lost to Illinois by 23, I knew there was smoke. There was smoke, and I'm like, I do not believe in them. That is fool's gold. Something is going to happen bad, and this happened this game up against UCLA. For them to hold them under 60, let alone it was like, I think it was like 49, maybe 51. I think it was something like that. That was the final score.
Yep,
you got that much time.
51 to 49.
Right. You have that much talent, and they held you down. Juwan Howard, one of the more appreciative, accepted men that I know across the board, and the talent that he possesses, and him being along the sides of those Miami Heat championship runs and all of the IQ that he has as a coach, he was noted as one of the potential coaches of the year when they lost that game to Illinois, I felt like he lost his step there. That was one. And then him losing this game right here, I can't totally put this on coaching, but what else do I put it on? You know, like the players were there. I know they're missing Livers. You got to do that, you know, next man up mentality. Those guys were ready, and they're a top three college in the nation. Like, they should have been ready. The Big Ten had so many teams get here, and all of them had catastrophic losses going back as far as Ohio State. And Michigan is the one that ended this situation, where not only am I looking at it, like, analytically, like, personally, I had to look at it because it's like, I had these dudes going to the Final Four. Like, they're supposed to be a cakewalk. I had them going up against Alabama. Alabama got knocked off by the same UCLA team, and now they went up against Michigan, and Michigan kind of, I feel like Michigan overlooked them. Michigan overlooked them, feeling like they were already a stronger team going up against a double-digit seeded school, and they had to play in. They ran their course and played so many different games. So that's why I'm like, well, what? Like, how is this possible? So I question what happens next with Michigan. They'll be losing some pieces potentially in the next season. Just like I was saying about the coaching job that Mark Few was able to do, this is his year. I can't. What does he really have to go undefeated to get to a national championship and win the championship for him to get coach of the year? I think this is Mark Few's. Now on the other side, looking at what Baylor was able to do. I talked to some people, professional basketball players as well, said that it was a good thing for Baylor to lose outside of the tournament because they're strong enough to get it done. And the way that they eat glass, like I don't even know what to call them. They're like the warlord or something. Like, they all create chaos at the glass. They can shoot the ball efficiently. They're unselfish. What they've been able to do to get to this run, I have to tip my hat to Baylor because I'm one that picks on the Big 12, but I look at Baylor, you know, not this year with Kansas, but notably Kansas is always one, but I don't like Bill Self. Oklahoma State was one of the threats, but I think they'll fall with losing pieces after this year. Texas Tech might be back around. I don't know what's going to happen with Texas, especially with the news that's going on with Shaka Smart. They're going to be potentially looking for a new coach immediately. But Baylor did what they needed to do to get here. The shocker of this whole Final Four thing is Houston. Houston had an epic season. I didn't know that they were going to get this far, but they believe in one another. And I don't even know who I give more of the credit to. If I'm looking at Dejan Giroux, the way that this guy is the impact leader and gets things started, or, you know, the shooting of Yasser, I think it is, on the outside. And Shasta, he had to get his shot together because he was missing early. They did an exceptional job across the board, and especially with the bigs getting their job in, Houston did work. And this is this now with me saying all of this about all four of the teams, I am worried about both Baylor and Gonzaga. I am worried about both of them right now. Both of them are not safe. I think they could potentially lose to both of these teams because both of these teams have nothing to lose. Houston is ready and charged, and they probably got the best success story and a coach that I love so well, and Kelvin Sampson. Everything that he's been going through, from being in different universities and having to fight cancer and getting through that and getting to the Final Four with Houston. I remember when he was with Oklahoma and getting his runs there. Now he's finally at the Final Four, could potentially knock off Baylor and get to a national championship, something that he hasn't had happen. This is epic work, and you know, as much as I got a high for Mark Few to get there, I just want to see Mark Few just finally get his flowers. But UCLA, like I'm saying, like, this is John Wooden University. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta beat UCLA. Like, if you don't, UCLA's gonna get to that national championship and threaten to get another one to bring back to LA. And we already know people are already trying to catch up to them, and they're laughing with the lead that they have. So, like I said, the threat is back in both Gonzaga and Baylor's face, but I think the one thing I'm worried about with Gonzaga is Gonzaga has been blowing everybody out. Like, nobody stands a chance in front of them. Like, you're losing or more. Like, they don't care who you are. You could be Mr. T in the A team. You could be the Monstars on Space Jam. They, listen, you come out here, we're going to punch you all in your forehead and tell you to go home. Like so I'm worried about Gonzaga because they've been beating everybody handily, but they have to keep that seriousness involved. And Baylor, they can't have one of those off nights. Those off nights will end up killing them, but I really feel like they should be concerned. So I know we have people in queue, so I want to get them in here. Barry, let me know who we have right there.
Yeah, I mean, before we bring them in, Sirius is on the line, and I'll bring him in a second. But I agree with you. I personally don't think anybody's coming close to Gonzaga. They're head and shoulders above everybody. But if any of those teams were going to be worried, I would say it's Baylor. Houston shot 32% for the game, and still won that game against a very good ball club in Oregon State. So I'm looking at them. What did they do? They played defense and they hit their free throws at the end of the game. And you're right, Sasson made some shots at the end to kind of pull it together. So Houston's a dangerous team. UCLA, listen, they got momentum, you know, went from the last four in to the final four. And you know, they're a dangerous team and they need to be respected with all praise due. But Gonzaga, man, God, I just don't see anybody beating. I think Baylor would give them a game, but I think Gonzaga would eventually pull away. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the final four. But we do have Sirius in the building, so I'll bring him in. Sirius, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing this afternoon?
We good. I mean, I don't do like TP the 703 the. What's the other type? What's the zip code? I can't even get them straight. During the area code.
The 413, like, the 757, the 804.
He's like ludicrous. I can't keep up with all
together.
Oh man, it's good to have you, man. But we're just kind of lamenting on the Final Four. And I don't know if you watched any of the games or got anything to add to what we were kind of cooking up. But, I mean, the floor is yours,
yeah.
Brother.
You know, honestly, gentlemen, what a turn of events. This is why we love the tournament so much because, you know, you got a UCLA team like you guys alluded to who literally had to scrap and claw to get themselves into the tournament. They lost the last four of the regular season, you know, and now they find themselves, you know, in the Final Four. And they won a masterful of ways. I mean, they've gotten the stops. They played defense. They haven't had anybody really, you know, jump out and, you know, go for 24, 25 plus. They got balanced scoring. They got great coaching. And this is a team that honestly epitomizes the why not us mentality. I mean, they're out there in UCLA, so that LA, you know, mantra is kind of passed down, and the Lakers won it last year. The LA Dodgers won baseball. Heck, why not the UCLA Bruins try to go and shock the world? So it's very interesting to see what happens there. Obviously, Gonzaga and Baylor, you know, are literally, in my opinion, head and shoulders above the rest of the field, but you know, again, nobody picked UCLA to get this far. So if I'm Gonzaga, I would honestly be worried a little bit about UCLA. They're playing with house money. You know, we're all gamblers here. You know what I'm saying? We all been in the casino. When you got that house money, you can do reckless stuff with it and, you know, see if you can, you know, come up on your ticket. So I'm not picking them to win. I did three brackets, and all of them I had Gonzaga cutting down the nets at the end, but I wouldn't count on UCLA, man. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But that's kind of my opinion on it. Shout out to Juwan Howard. I posted this on my Instagram and my Facebook yesterday. I always have a soft spot for that guy. That was the first jersey I ever purchased with my own Christmas money. When my granddad gave me my Christmas money, my mom and dad had a list of rules and regulations that I had to adhere to. And after doing some research or whatever, I like Juwan Howard. So I posted a picture on my Facebook yesterday, me in fifth grade at an event with the Juwan Howard jersey on. So salute to him. The Michigan State Wolverines have a decent recruiting class coming in. They're going to lose some bodies due to them declaring for NFL draft and everything, but salute to Juwan Howard, man. He had one hell of a season. I can't, you know, wait to see what they do next year.
Those are two different schools, I hope. You know, Michigan State and Wolverines are two different schools. Michigan State is starting. The Wolverines
I didn't say
are Michigan.
Anything about the Wolverines. I'm saying
yes,
about the Wolverines.
You said Michigan State. You said Michigan State Wolverines. Yes, yes, you did. Please, when you get time, you can rewind and hear that. I'm here to
I'm
help you.
I'm happy to rewind. I appreciate it.
You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to hear it. When you do, you're gonna laugh your tail off. And boy, oh boy, Barry, you have to see the Bullets version of Sirius. There is no Houston Rocket to this boy at that time. When Juwan was doing his thing, the Rockets were doing their thing. This boy is a Bullets fan for real. So if the Wizards start cooking, just know Sirius has a close eye on the district.
You're funny.
Of Columbia. So it's cool.
So
it's cool. It's cool.
Thing.
I love it.
I love it.
This is a good thing. Wait, no, it's cool because I respect it because I don't pick on baby pictures and get, you know, childhood to like. You like who you like. You love who you love.
That
and that's
do.
My
you
little brother.
You pick on me all the time.
You picked on me yesterday. Well, see, you different because you a Mets fan on the low. Now, and I found out this series a Bullets fan on the low. So he got the Bullets Wizards, and you got the Mets. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to find out more and more about these people. Yo, like
wow.
In the words,
Cole,
Sean,
you,
in the words of Sean Corey Carter, in the words of Sean Corey Carter, we don't believe you. You need more people. That's what y'all need, okay?
So here's the story behind that. My family, you know, my dad is super de-duper, like he's a preacher. And so I had literally a list of like maybe 10 to 15 players that I was allowed to go out and wear. Like I couldn't go get Allen Iverson. I couldn't go get Hakeem Olajuwon. I couldn't go get nobody because my mom and pops didn't agree with how they lived their life off the floor. So I had to go get like people in good standing and people who ain't got a bunch of tattoos and, you know, out there doing, you know, reckless stuff. So my parents made me.
He was Muslim.
When I tell you my father was like and he still lives like this, is a thoroughbred Pentecostal Christian, to kind of flip away from sports for a second, I wasn't even really allowed to wear basketball shorts. For the longest time, I had no cable TV in my house for the longest time because my dad was so far right. It's not even funny. So I had literally, and again, I can call him up and I can three-way him. We can have a conversation. But I had a list of players that I was allowed to like and to allow to do. And my dad was a huge Washington Bullets / Wizard fan. We used to play on the PlayStation all the time. We used to get Calvert Chaney and Ross Strickland and them and you know, Robert Pathen. I used to watch my dad, you know, play it on the video game, and I would come down and sit down and watch, you know, the Wizards or the Bullets with the little rabbit ears, you know what I'm saying, growing up. So until I kind of broke away from that and got on my own and started doing my own research or whatever, the Bullets were the team that I watched. And that was the only jersey that I was allowed to get because I wanted my father's approval. I wanted to be like my pops. Because my dad's a Wizards fan. My dad's a Bullets fan.
So, I don't know. I don't want him to blame. I don't want him to be blaming Mr. Simmons at all, man. And I feel bad because, like, I got Muslim people in my family. Like, it's what they believe in. And people pick on the Muslim faith because they are some of the more peaceful. That's what the Muslim heritage is. If they believe in peace. You know what I'm saying? Like being misunderstood. And if you guys, well, not if you guys or if Mr. Simmons, like, look more into Hakeem, but Hakeem is one of the more peaceful people there is in the world. It's like, what did he need to do? Like put people slippers on for him? No, what? So it's like, I don't know. But
I don't think it was the person. I would think it's the religion.
What
he's
following.
So that's probably, yeah. So, I mean, but we all know Hakeem Olajuwon is probably one of the nicest people
that has walked
this earth. So. Yeah, no,
like you could have picked
on
Bin Laden or somebody, but this dude, like your dad, check this back off.
And also, and you know, that was 95. I didn't get into basketball and the love in the Houston Rockets until 95. That was in the spring of 95. You know what I'm saying? So I was still trying to figure out and find my own work. Yeah. That's when they beat the Knicks.
Then they beat the Knicks in 94. You can't listen. I still, you know, cry myself to sleep thinking about Game 6 and Game 7. You know what I'm saying? So that was 94. 95 was when they swept Shaq.
No. 95.
Yeah, 95
was
when they swept Shaq.
Yeah,
95 they swept Shaq. 96, Jordan came back and ruled the world.
Came back and did the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still have nightmares about John Starks in Game 7.
Oh, please hit a shot. Please hit a shot. Okay.
You know, it's just like, I can't. You know, I can't. Oh, God, that's painful. I'm going to go on mute now. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
It's okay. I'm here for you, too. If you need help, just call 1-888. Save Barry. We 10 cents a day, we could save these tears from falling from his face. And, you know.
Yeah. I gotta make the song cry. You know what I mean? Because I don't
That's
have
like
any jam. Tears.
Like, I was like, joy. You said he can't see him coming down his eyes.
Yeah, I gotta make the song cry.
He's That's why he's going now. He leaves because of that.
Oh, man. I love it. All right, so what else we got? What else we cooking, man? What else we cooking, brother?
You're serious? Well, you just got here. Let me know what you got on your mind. I mean, it's a wide open thing that we could talk about sport, Will.
Yeah, we got a lot of places to go, and I was kind of going to wait for this to kind of get later on in the show, but, you know, to borrow a phrase from Biggie, I got to talk. I got to tell him how I feel. You know what I'm saying? We need to really start talking about this Russell Westbrook, Stephen A. Smith situation. I feel some type of way about it, and I kind of want to see how the panel, you know, thought about what the back and forth between the two. For those of you guys who don't understand what I'm talking about, Stephen A. Smith pretty much said he wasn't impressed with what Russell Westbrook has been doing, said that, you know, essentially that's all nice, well, and good, but it doesn't equate to championships. And Russell Westbrook, you know, clapped back and said that he was a champion, you know, from getting out of where he was at to where he is now. I'm going to say my position and opinion for last, but I wanted to throw it around and kind of see what you guys thought about it.
I'll say it like this. I don't like the way Russ responded, saying that he's a champion, because yes, it's something the campaign that where you made it out of is great, but like you got somebody trying to call you out about your ability. Like, say something different to like put Stephen A. in the dirt. Like, there was definitely a different scenario that he could have buried Stephen A. So that's the one thing about the Russell Westbrook situation. But Stephen A. Smith, I'm shaking my head. I'm shaking my head. I could nail him to the cross if I really wanted to. But Barry, I'll let you go.
Yeah, I mean, I totally disagree with you, TP. And I think Stephen A. I said it earlier. And Stephen A. has an opinion, and you know, I just happen to agree with his opinion, but. I totally agree that Russell could have came back with a better argument. Stephen A. wasn't criticizing him as a person. So Russell came back and says, I'm a champion person. I know people that won championships that are miserable. I'm a great father, a husband, blah, blah, blah. I do stuff in the community. Nobody's arguing that. I think everybody that knows Russell or has been around Russell Westbrook knows he's a good guy. And he's a good person. He's a good father. That's not what he was saying. He's saying he's not impressed with you getting triple-doubles from the standpoint of, okay, we know you can get triple-doubles. you average a triple-double this year. You've averaged a triple-double through your MVP year. What does that mean? That means that you get points, you get rebounds, you get assists, but you don't get chips. You don't get rings. That's what he was saying, and I totally agree with him. And you know what? He came back today and gave a good response. Like, listen, Russell West was right, came to his defense and clapped back at Stephen A. And you know what? I'm glad she did too. But it's not a character assassination that Stephen A. was doing. He was questioning him on the court, not off the court. I don't like what Russell Westbrook said, that winning championships doesn't mean anything to him. Then what are you playing for? Why are you getting paid such a $40-plus million dollars a year? Not to just go out there and play basketball and then that's it. No, they're paying you to win them a championship. So, you know, you had Kevin Durant, you had James Harden, and you had Carmelo and PG-13, and you didn't get it done. But you averaged a triple-double, great. Okay, so that'll get you in the Hall of Fame. But we're talking about getting a chip. You haven't done that. And now your response is, like, you could care less. So that's my problem with it. I mean, I would love to have Russell Westbrook on my Knicks because God knows we need a point guard. But, I mean, your response is just I question your response. And I know you were trying to come from a different angle with it, but nobody's questioning you as a person. We're questioning, can you lead a team to a chip? If not, then pull a Blake Griffin, go to a team, and go, ride somebody's coattails to get the chip, because you can't obviously be the man and win a chip. That's basically what we're talking about here. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that's how I feel. I like him getting triple-doubles, but to me, they were always hollow triple-doubles. They're like loose rebounds or long rebounds off a three and then forcing a pass to get that 10th assist. But you know what? You're 11 wins this year, or 17 wins, or whatever it is. Like, they're not. And you got Bradley Beal. It's not pushing you to get a ring. It's not even pushing you in a playoff discussion right now, because that defense in Washington is horrendous. That's kind of where I sit with it.
So I'm gonna go ahead and pick up here. I didn't think that I would, you know, have somebody on the show today that kind of shares exactly, and I mean exactly, where I stand with it. But, you know, once again, Barry and I are in lockstep. You know, for me, you know, Herman Edwards said it like this: you play to win the game. And if you look at the greats that have gone before him, you know, you look at, you know, Charles Barkley and Karl Malone and, you know, Stockton and, you know, Sean Kemp, you know, those guys that have gone before him, you know, they would trade all their, you know, all-star MVPs and, you know, all NBA accolades for one chip. You know, so for me, I honestly agree with everything Barry said, You know, you know, at the end of the day, you play to win the game, and you don't win. That's like, for example, that's, you know, we was all single at one point. That's like showing up to the club, whining and dining a girl or whatever, and not taking her home. You got to close. And right now, based off of the trajectory that Russell Westbrook's career is going in, brother ain't closing. You know, now he's had, you know, a couple opportunities. You know, he's been to the finals with KD and Harden or whatever, ran into a LeBron James team. It's unfortunate. You know, he's been to the Western Conference semifinals, you know, with, you know, KD or whatever, couldn't close the deal, up 3-1. You know, he's been to playoffs, you know, multiple times, struggled to get out of the first round of the year. He won an MVP award. You know, he's got gentlemen swept, you know, 4-1. You know, by his boy James Harden, or whatever the case may be. You know, I've sat here on this platform and many other platforms and literally, you know, screamed my distaste for the way he plays and the way that he gets all of his accolades and this, that, and the third. Much of it is a lot to do with, you know, my back and forth between myself and CP or whatever the case may be. But this is really the main reason as to why I say that. You know what I'm saying? you have to win. You have to win. The shelf life, you know, in this association is, you know, 10 to 15 years max. You know what I'm saying? Now, you do got some guys that, you know, go over that, you know, and, you know, salute to them. But literally, you have literally 10 to 15 years from the moment you're drafted to the moment you hang it up to make your bread, you know, get all your awards, this, that, and the third, you know, create a brand, you know, something for yourself, but also to get a championship. This is sports. That's how we are judged, wins, losses, and championships. You know what I'm saying? And if you got wins, you know, but no chip, you know, you're lacking. If you got awards but no chip, you're lacking. If you got MVP and whatever the case may be, you're lacking. You know what I'm saying? People came at LeBron for, you know, going to Miami, learning how to win a championship and getting his ring. The number one knock on LeBron James before he got his ring was the fact that the brother didn't have a ring. You know what I'm saying? Salute to Russ, you know, for doing his thing. It's kind of funny watching him, you know, in my backyard right now, you know, adding triple doubles and dunking on people and this, that, and the third. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be picking in the lottery again. You know, and there's only going to be so much longer that, you know, Russ is going to be able to put up this type of numbers. And then, you know, what's he going to do? Try to jump on like Blake Griffin and these guys or, you know, whatever, and try to chase the ring? Like, I honestly believe that it's about rings, gentlemen. It's about rings.
Okay. Is everything off of you guys' chest? Because I heard everything that I needed to hear. I heard everything I needed to
come
hear.
On, boy. Come on.
Both clear. Now, here we go. Here's the crazy part about it.
I got everything out, TT. Go ahead.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Well, okay. So you're meaning to tell me 35, 21, and 14 isn't impressive? I get it that you've seen him do the triple-double stuff in three different seasons. I get it that people are tired of seeing Russell Westbrook get triple-doubles. Do you know how much it is to exert yourself on a basketball floor up against great players in the world that are a 1% of a job to get in the damn league? For him to be a point guard and to do this consistently, especially with the Washington Wizards, outside of Bradley Beal, who can you give me that is a thorough presence on a day-by-day basis with the Wizards? You would struggle or probably say Rei Hachimura, who is still making a case for himself. The start that they are off to on 17 and whatever their record is, I can go into standings right now. They were hurt at the beginning of the season. Russell and them were not together lockstep how you two are right now. They were having to try to figure this out. And the perfect mixing spoon to all of this, I've seen Scott Brooks coach before. If you don't know who Scott Brooks is, let me tell you about him. He's a guard that used to play ball with the Houston Rockets and did not see any playing time until he went to the New York Knicks and got chewed up by Allen Iverson, and that's when they started calling Tommy. He was getting tortured. Like, he was nobody really out there on the floor. Like, they were giving him all types of hell. He came to the league, and he didn't coach. He more or less was a fan. And you have the same person that's in Washington, D.C. right now that is potentially looking at getting fired this season. So you cannot blame Russell Westbrook on the team that he's on and not trying to win. You mean to tell me that the stats that he's pulling up is him not trying to win, or he's trying to just get loose rebounds or trying to get that 10th assist? Yes, it's a feat to get a triple-double. You think those people on the bench, they're like, yo, Russ, you got 9 assists right now. Like, get that last pass. Like, you think that's just him looking at the score table? Like, he probably can, but there's other people saying that too, cheering him on to get this done. He's on another season. He's on another season in Washington averaging a triple-double. Do you know how much faster, stronger, and bigger these guys are nowadays in the league, doing it up with more skills on the floor out there, and they are in the bottom of the Eastern Conference and trying to make their way back while they are dealing with health issues and don't have a solid big at all to go to war in the East, where there are interesting bigs that they need to go to war with? Like, he is doing that, and to have that type of game and his percentage on winning is higher than him losing. When they get these stats, it's over 80% when he gets a triple-double, and you don't want to give him credit right now because he didn't win a championship. When he got to the NBA Finals, he was 21 years old. Like, he was just learning how to walk in the NBA. Like, get over yourself if you're still stuck on that narrative. It's ridiculous. Like, the last time he got to the Western Conference Final was 2016, and if you're pointing the blame at him, I point the blame more Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant was the one that was off from Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7. Russ was busting Steph Curry's tail. If you go look at the stats, Russ was the one working. Kevin Durant wasn't. The team that Russ tried to go to was Houston, because he tried to go to somebody he knew, and Houston wasn't loaded how they needed to be. Houston was still flawed. Like, yeah, you're right. You said if he's going to be like Blake Griffin, that's what the model has been. That's what LeBron had to do, to go form a super team. Did Russ go to a super team yet? No, LeBron did. KD did. This is the narrative of today in the NBA. He didn't get to go there yet. What team did he go to and join? What, did he go to the Bucks and join Giannis, I think, potentially? Like, or did he make it happen in D.C. and try to load up and get a big or two to come there, or three or something? Like, maybe. But he's not on any solid teams that we can say that this is a super team that happened. He worked with the team that he got drafted with and moved to Houston for a year. They did not like how – he didn't like how Houston was – basic thing around James Harden, and James Harden said, you know what, he right. I don't like the way they're doing stuff around here. I got to go out here, because the way that we can construct it in the West, this ain't going to win it. And Harden wanted to leave. So all of that bull crap that y'all feeding me and sticking on Stephen A's crap, that is bogus. And he himself know that he made his narrative to get people to listen or watch him. There is no way that Stephen A could go on a basketball court and do that. I don't care if he was playing in Queens where he from and did this and left rap, or he couldn't do this out here in Rucker Park, or he couldn't do this in no park out here in New York City where I'm at this point in time. He could not do that in the college that he played down there in North Carolina, or we could go look up his stats where he was playing at Johnson C. Smith. I'm not buying any of that at all. Like, you're trying to sit here and act like Russell Westbrook putting up a triple-double is not gaudy. Like, and for him to do this in a fourth season in his NBA career, like what? Like I don't get it, man. People have that narrative stuck in their heads. And I was talking to Royce. Royce said, don't waste energy on people that do not want to give people flowers just because they mad at the individual. Like, they got to give them their respect. This is the same way that I looked at Kobe Bryant. I used to be mad at Kobe because of just competitive nature, because Kobe used to knock off the Sonics. But it's like, I couldn't knock off the talent that the dude brought to the game. I could not knock off the fact that Kobe went off of 81 because he was in 2006. They didn't even make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do I hold that against Cole? Because he put up 81 in a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a gaudy stat. So look, that's same comparison. Like, the Lakers wasn't doing it, but so you're telling me that if Charles Barkley didn't win a ring, he's lacking. But Charles Barkley did work in the league. Like, I don't even like the narrative that, oh, you didn't win a championship, we don't respect your career. Like, what? Like, that dude is one of the best power forwards ever. Or Karl Malone didn't win a ring. Wait, what? So this dude was number two in the league and scoring all time for a little bit. Like, that doesn't get consideration. And they're in the middle of Utah, not getting anybody to come there. But, like, Jeff Hornacek and Brian Russell and Shandon Anderson, like, these are the names that I'm giving you. Like, Mark Eaton and Ostertag, like, these are the teams that these guys have. Karl Malone had to get to L.A. at 34, 35 to try to win a championship on a super team to try to do it. He was at the end of his career and couldn't do it. And we're going to say that they're lacking? Like, bro, stop. Like, enough is enough for people with their narratives, especially with Stephen A. Smith trying to conquer another black man in this world, trying to do something, and you know his wife had to come to his aid because you know people are waiting for Russ to say something crazy so they could put this on the wall. And Russ said the most mildest thing that he could have ever said instead of going crazy on Stephen A. Smith, who I don't even feel like I need to waste my breath on. That's why I'm doing more about the career on Russell Westbrook. And nothing what Stephen A. Smith says, because it's ridiculous what he's doing on his platform.
I totally disagree with you. I totally disagree with you, TP. Like, here's the deal. You want to bring up that finals against the Western Conference Finals? He choked in the last three games. He shot under 40%, okay? Let's be clear.
Wait,
Kevin Durant scored more points than him, okay?
Wait. From the field? Is, wait, 40% is bad?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he didn't show up the last three games. He might have been busting them up the first three or four games. The last three games, he didn't play well at all. He couldn't shoot. They let him shoot. And he didn't shoot. I watched the series. But that's one thing. Listen, 40%, nobody's saying 40% that. Let me finish. Nobody is saying that averaging a triple-double or getting gaudy stats like he did 34, 21, and 14 is not impressive. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just like what Stephen A. saying. We've seen you do that. We know you can do that. It's impressive. But, guy, winning is more impressive to me. I'm not taking anything away from Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing or Karl Malone's career because they didn't get a chip. But you don't think that if they won a chip, we'd be talking about them in the same vein as Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant? That's the point. And the idea that he just dismisses the idea that winning a championship is important is what bothers me. Not the fact – I'm not trying to tear down his career. There's no way I can tear down his career. This guy is going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's a fact. I'm just saying your response saying – it's not important to get a championship bothers the hell out of me because that's what you're playing for. If you're not playing to win a championship, then let us know because then I don't have to pay money to come see you play. You know what I mean? Then you don't need to be getting over $40 million a year because that's what the money is for. It's to win a chip. I mean, let's be clear. LeBron had to leave Cleveland to learn how to win. He didn't leave Cleveland because he wanted more money. He left Cleveland to go learn how to win. It's about winning, and he doesn't care. That's what his comment said. So that's my only problem with him. I'm not trying to tear down his accomplishments because I know the guy can do it. The guy can average a triple-double in his sleep. That's not the argument. My problem is you said it's not important to win a chip, and I don't know anybody that plays this game that thinks that same way.
Or any game for that matter. And again, I understand where TP is coming from. I get it. Don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? I understand where he's coming from. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Again, Barry, you and I are once again in lockstep. Nobody is poo-pooing this man's accomplishment. Nobody's saying that what he is having to do or what he has done over the course of his career in any season, any game, whatever, is diminished. Nobody's throwing shade on that. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, Russell Westbrook's response, I'm not feeling his response. You know what I'm saying? And I agree with Stephen A. Smith. Like, at some point, okay, you know what I'm saying, we understand that this is what Russell Westbrook does, almost like the fact that, you know what, until he retires, we can go ahead and pencil in Tom Brady to be in some type of conference championship game because that's what he does. You know what I'm saying? Now, getting there and winning it is a whole different ball game. Tom Brady's done it. He's gotten to the big game. He's won it. You know what I'm saying? Other greats have gotten to the big game and won it. You know what I'm saying? With gaudy stats and gaudy numbers, it's in the third. But you have to close. You have to close. Like, nobody's saying that this dude isn't great. Nobody's saying that this dude isn't decent. Nobody's saying that he's not a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? This and the third. But he has failed at every opportunity to close the deal. Whether he ain't got no help from KD, whether he's in a bad situation in Houston, whether he's in a bad situation in right now in Washington, he has failed to close. So at the end of the day, you were doing nothing but stat stuffing and building a career and a resume that's going to eventually get you to the Hall of Fame, but you don't have a championship.
Okay. This is incredible. First off, Barry, 40% is bad from the field?
Less than 40%.
What was the percentage? What was the percentage?
32 in one game, I think 36 in another. Like, he didn't shoot well. He just didn't shoot well.
I think in the first four games he had triple-doubles in, I think, two or three of those games, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're shooting 40%, that's like great, like from the field. Like when people shoot 50% and 60% from the field, that's like Zion, Shaq, like Stephen Adams, mm-hmm. the dudes that you know are gonna dunk the ball. Like it's hard. When people say 50-40-90, that's a very impressive stat. Now I get it. I know that Russ shoots the ball way more than he should, but let's look at the way that the teams were orchestrated. I'm a Thunder fan, so it's like it burns me that I'm going to be picking on this team. But none of the teams outside of that 2012 team were orchestrated to win a championship. None of the teams that he was, the team that he went to in Houston, they weren't ready to go win a championship. Why, after he left, everybody left. They flushed that whole team down the toilet and did a restart 365 days after he left because it was true. Y'all holding his feet to the fire because he's been on teams that they were not able to get it done. He had to go off on a clip to be like tiny Archibald or something. Like, I couldn't even think of Isaiah Thomas having to deal with a team like this. Like, Isaiah had more guns than he had in Detroit. Like, you can't, like, be for real here. Like, be for real. I could care less on how y'all fans for Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. looked at that more or less on the likes of what he did in that game. I'm not talking about what he did in his career or whatever. In that game, try to make it seem like that wasn't impressive. Dog, you would be dog tired on your hands and knees trying to recover from a 35, 21, and 14 assist game that nobody in the NBA has ever done. Not Magic Johnson, not John Stockton, not Tim Hardaway, not Chris Paul. I'm trying to think of all of the guards that I could think of that can score and dish at that rate or clip, and then let alone get 14 rebounds. Like, and I'm racking my brain to try and get a point guard to do this, or maybe Oscar. Oscar probably be the one that I could prototypically say that could get to the glass like he did at that point in time in the 60s and 70s. Like, that is impressive. And I'm not buying what Stephen A's trying to say, like, oh, he didn't win, and then Russ's response was he's a champion. Like, I think Russ tried to take the high route and say something quick because everybody's trying to paint that narrative that they don't like Russ, and Russ don't want to be in the media, especially being on the team of the Washington Wizards. Like, they have to go on a crazy run to try to make the postseason with the way that they're constructed. That management is questionable. They haven't done anything right upstairs since the Caron Butler, Gilbert Arenas days, and then Gilbert get caught up in the locker room, and they've been terrible dealing with management up there. They have Scott Brooks there that's up to the same antics that he was up to in Oklahoma City. If they don't get it together, and plus this is why Beal is out, they're going to lose and be out of the playoffs once again in the Eastern Conference. That ain't all on Russ's back while he just got there. Like, how did he have to deal with the whole team orchestra as he just got there? He's a piece now. He just got added there and is able to do this, not only do this, but take over and do that, especially while Beal was out and they won the game.
I don't think Stephen A was saying that it wasn't impressive. That's the thing. I don't think
that's
he said it wasn't impressive. He said, so what? He didn't say it wasn't impressive. He said, I watched him, so he said it was impressive.
He said no, nothing to that sort. He said, so what? We know you can do that. We know we can. And listen, everybody knows it's a disaster in Washington. It is a disaster in Washington. But how can you justify him being the man at OKC? They trade for LeBron. They get PG-13, and they still don't win. They don't even get out of the first round. I mean, and that's his team. He gets traded with James Harden to go to Houston, and he can't shoot in the bubble. I mean, like, listen, I just can't buy what you're selling. I like Howard Westbrook. I know he can play. I know he's a great player. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about chips. You need to get a chip. If you're not playing, listen, pay the salary to hit a certain number of people on my company's website to say that they want to sign up and they want to try our solutions or whatever. If I don't hit that number, you think they're going to say, oh, well, you deserve that salary anyway. Don't worry about it. No. Either they're going to cut my salary or they're going to fire me. That's the point. They're paying you to win a chip. And you saying
bro,
you don't
you
care.
Said, bro, you said the season of Paul George and Carmelo was another measurable season. You know they call him Pandemic P because he fell apart in that season and couldn't score over Ingles. Wait, hold on, bro. That's wrong. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that because this is already ridiculous. That he couldn't get it together against Ingles and them, and the Thunder got rid of Carmelo immediately because he didn't work out. Like, both of those situations didn't really work out. Like, I think Paul George still has to grow. Like, he hasn't grown since he left the Eastern Conference coming into the Western Conference. Like, this season right here is looking good the way that he got out the gate right now, but everybody's waiting to see how he looks in the postseason. But he did not look impressive in his first two seasons there. and they had nobody behind them. It was, and that was Russ right there. Russ, don't forget, Russ was the one going off of 27. They helped them storm back in a quarter. Like that's what he had to do because nobody else was scoring. With Alex Abrines, Andre Roberson, Steven Adams, like what? Like that's the team that they were constructed to go after LeBron. That's the trade, and Paul George didn't pan out. Carmelo didn't pan out. Like so what? To something that nobody has done in the length of the NBA's entirety has never done. Not our Michael Jordan, not our Hakeem Olajuwons, not our David Robinsons, not our Magic Johnsons, not our Larry Birds. Nobody, not our Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You gotta be freaking kidding me! That is a personal agenda. That is an opinion of one man that is trying to build statistics for ESPN, and I don't want to say that on here, but I have to. Like, that is ridiculous for him to say that. He almost scored 40, did that. He could have, picture if he did 40, 20, and 20, because he could have got that. That has still been a so what? Are you kidding? Do you know how much energy you got to exert to get a triple-double, let alone to put up them type of numbers? Bro, come on. That's like Brady going into a game and throwing for 600 touchdowns and 10 touchdowns. I mean, 600 yards and 10 touchdowns. And you said, so what? Like, get the hell out of here. That's what type of game that is. That's the only way I can compare that to, and no interceptions. And he's just throwing the hell out the ball, and there's nobody around him. Name the starting five without Googling in Washington.
I mean, that's
who cares.
That's how you would take it, right? Because outside of Bradley Beal, you wouldn't give me the other three, and he had 21 assists, and Bradley Beal didn't play the game. Come on,
but TT.
Come on, this is the discussion that we're having here. That is not a so what. It's not a so what.
Hold on.
All right.
Hold on. I heard excuses. Again, I'm gonna use your words. Cloning, just a second ago. Okay.
I can't hear you.
Say that again.
Serious, repeat yourself. You broke up a little bit. Repeat yourself.
I heard nothing but excuses and baloney a second ago. Nobody sitting here or on that other network poo-pooing the fact that this brother can play. Nobody is saying that, you know what, averaging triple-double is not spectacular. We've seen it. We've done it. Bring me a championship. That's where we're at. And for you, Timeless, to sit there and go through the PG-13 reason and the Carmelo situation and the rest of the roster that was, you know, half-assed put together in OKC or the situation in Houston where, you know, it was, you know, backwards and this, that, and the third, and the fact that he's sitting here in Washington and has the team that he has, this, that, and the third, is an excuse for why he has not produced a championship ring. I refuse to sit here and let that joint slide because you know better.
Hey, you can refuse to sit here all you want, bro. You sound ridiculous. But you sound ridiculous trying to call me out, bro. You trying to call me out, bro. I don't like how you trying to assassinate my character, dog. I don't like how you trying to assassinate my character, dog. You trying to assassinate my character. You can refuse to sit there. I don't care what you're talking about, bro. I don't care what you're talking about, bro. I really don't care what you're talking about, bro. Because you're really trying to assassinate my character. I don't care what you're kicking. I don't care what you're kicking. You're trying to assassinate my character, bro. Yo, you sound ridiculous, dog, and I'm tired of that. Yo, you do that a lot, yo. You do that a lot, and it's ridiculous that you be on here trying to do that, yo. It's ridiculous, yo. It'd be ridiculous when you be trying to call out my character, and I don't do that to you, but you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. You try to really sit here and say that, dog? You are really sit there and say that I'm trying to make up excuses, and it's a valid statement, bro. They don't have teams around him.
Serious,
you got the nerve to try to assassinate my character on that. Like this is the real situation. It's a team. Okay, so it's like this. If he's in the Western Conference, it's like he put on a jersey. He put on a five-way. He put on a five-way jersey.
Oh,
you sound ridiculous. Dog, he put on a jersey, and you're telling me that he's taking on the world, or is it a team accomplishment to win a championship? Wait, how teams are constructed. Listen,
Westbrook.
About how teams are constructed. How teams are constructed is how you're going
to
win a championship.
You're not going to
do
this Westbrook stuff, and you cut me off.
How teams are constructed. How teams are constructed is how you win a championship. How teams are constructed or how you're going to win a championship. What you just said, you're not going to sit here and say it, so I'm going to say it right back to you. How teams are constructed or how you're going to win a championship, especially in the Western Conference. This is his first year in the Eastern Conference. Yes, I am. I'm talking about Russell Westbrook. I'm talking about him. I'm talking about him. So if you're going to say that this is his first year in the Eastern Conference, as constructed in the Eastern Conference, they are ill-advised teams in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference. In the Western Conference, they were not constructed to win a championship.
You're not
going to
sit there and cut a brother off.
Yeah, I am
going to
say this. How do you feel comfortable? No. How do you feel comfortable saying that to me, trying to assault my character, and you know I'm on target on something? Like, you sound crazy, bro. You've been doing this for years, bro. So listen.
Yo,
bro. No, you sound wild. I don't care what you're talking about, bro. You talking about you're not gonna let me sit here and do this. I am gonna do it, yo. I am gonna do that.
No,
I don't care how you approach that situation. Yes, you will. What do you mean? What do you mean not on your wild? I can do that. I can do it all day long. What are you talking about? Well, you don't have to coach time for it.
You
don't have to. I don't need that.
You sound wild, bro. That's not gonna work.
You sound wild. No, that ain't how it works.
Can I interject? Because this is like getting boring. This is getting boring. Can I interject, guys?
Hold on, really quickly. I never finished my point.
No, hold on. Because you guys are just bickering. It's not productive right now. Hold on.
When he wants to cut me off. And then wants to run off with some dumbass tangent.
Yeah, because nobody says, so they're going to sit here and let you do this series. Ain't nobody going to let you sit here and do this. What are you talking about? I'm a grown-ass man, bro. You're going to sit here and let me do what? What are you talking about, bro? Like, stop that. Like you're stopping me. No, you're not. I don't care what you're talking about, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you sound crazy. Like, don't say it like that. Like, you sound crazy, bro. Like, you're opinionated. I'm giving you facts. You're giving me an opinion. I'm giving you facts. There's a difference. This is the same way that Skip Bayless and Richard Sherman. But Richard Sherman and Skip Bayless were going at it. This was before Richard Sherman won the championship, and he put up them stats, and Skip Bayless was calling out Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman said, you know what? I put up more accolades than you, Skip. I'm accomplishing things. Like, this is what he had to approach people that had an opinion about him. But Richard Sherman was doing things with the Legion of Boom, and finally a championship showed up on the door for him. Like, these are opinions that people have, just like Richard Sherman had told Skip
once
that
again,
day. This,
once
I,
again,
you can't hold that against
again.
Russell Westbrook and what he's able
Russell
to do
Westbrook.
Continually,
until
bro. I'm not hearing that. I'm not surprised to that at all. Let alone trying to tackle
him. You have to.
At all.
Rock with it. That's the fucking situation. Until Russell Westbrook gets himself a ring, these triple doubles and all that type of stuff that he's doing is irrelevant.
Okay,
to win
no problem.
The damn game. If you do not win,
what you do in the
court is irrelevant.
Hold on. Let me just get a point in, and then we can move on because this is getting ridiculous. But two things: do you know the rate of triple doubles increased over 47% year over year? Do you know that, right? Aaron, serious, you know that, right? So like the rate of people getting triple doubles has gone up dramatically. And it's because it's a different league. It's a more open, you know, free court, like, you know, not packing the paint as much and bigs and, you know, it's just a different game. It's up 700% compared to 9 years ago. I mean, even Julius Randle has a couple of triple doubles. I don't think he's ever really had triple doubles. So, I mean, I'm seeing it more prevalent. And so it's kind of watering down the triple double. It used to be like a gaudy stat. Now it's just happening on occurrence. Julius Randle is a couple assists away tonight from getting a triple-double. So I'm not saying that stat is irrelevant. I'm just saying it's more prominent, okay? So that's one. But, TP, I got to ask you, and then we can just move on from this. Are you okay with Russell Westbrook saying that championships don't matter? Because that's the part that burned me. That's the part. I don't care what Stephen A. said about the irrelevance of the triple-double and stuff. Focusing, I'm honing in on the idea that he said it doesn't mean anything to him. Are you okay with that? Or do you interpret him saying that completely differently?
Like
it got kind of blown out of proportion.
You heard my initial response. I don't like the way that he responded. That's the way that I started. Do you remember that? Yes or no?
Okay. All right. And that and that's and that's
did,
where
did,
I'm at.
Did you remember hearing me say that? Yes or no?
No, exactly. I heard that. And that's where
I don't
I'm
like
at
his response. But for Stephen A. to sit there to try to deteriorate this guy in the NBA who is a first ballot Hall of Famer and say, so what? Is out of his mind. And you know that, and I talked to some of these insiders, especially the Mavericks insider who talks well about Russell Westbrook, that they don't care about Stephen A. and them. They don't. Like, they try not to even get the interview. You know a lot of these players that are in the league don't even go to Stephen A. like that. The one that he's hanging on to like that beat Allen Iverson because he was in Philly with Allen Iverson. Like, people ain't worried about Stephen A. like that. Like, do you know that we live in Connecticut. You know ESPN's numbers are dropping. Do you know that with him as the guy in the morning, their numbers are dropping because of Stephen A. Smith?
Well, I think it's across the board. I think it's across the board. Too.
Okay, but
I think
he's the initial one in the morning. But he's the initial one in the morning. He should be pulling. He should be pulling him there. He's trying to break down an African American man. Like, come on, in the time of now.
I don't know. I can't go there. I just don't know. I can't say that he's trying to break down another African American man. I honestly think that people have a disdain for Stephen A. and they think he's a Uncle Tom. Like, you know, like that's what they think about him. And like, I respect his opinion. I respect his opinion.
Wow.
I don't agree with him most of the time, and I don't, I disagree with some of the things he says. But I don't think he's trying to tear him down to make. He's got his money. You know, what did he need to tear anybody down for?
That's
people's opinion.
Why, okay, hold on.
Why
in the
TP,
world
if you're right, what you're saying.
To tear down a bit.
Hold on, Aaron. Let me finish, brother. Like. TP, if you're right with what you're saying, that insiders don't think about him, then he'll go away soon enough, and then we'll have another person to worry about. We'll have another Skip Bayless or some schmuck that we have to worry about with their opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, but either way, I agree with you. I just didn't like his response. That's all I got to say with it, and we can let it be, and we can move on to another subject.
Okay. What topic do you have?
All right. So listen, I got to keep it NBA. I mean, we'll go on his other partner, his former partner in crime, in Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant versus Michael Rapaport, and you know obviously some private messages. On social media came out that Kevin Durant sent Michael Rapaport threatening his wife and his family and threatening him. And, you know, I guess the tweets or the messages were in a homophobic and a misogynistic nature, and he's coming under fire for it. Eventually, probably the league will have to get involved and investigate and see what's going on. But, I mean, I'll kick it around. I mean, you know, we can keep it, whatever we want to talk about, but I mean, I have my opinion on it, but you know, TP, if you want to lead it off, like, did you hear about it? Or what do you think about this whole situation with Kevin Durant and Michael Rapaport?
My problem with Kevin Durant is, he has rabbit ears. And, of course, a lot of people have sensitivity, but, he tries to hear everything. There's 7 billion people in the world. People are going to have opinions about you, and especially you, being on Brooklyn and the way you left OKC, the way you left Golden State were questionable. And now you're on to a scenario where you're trying to prove that you could win a championship. And not only are you teaming up with Kyrie and James Harden, a lot of people came there to help this team get to a championship. So now people feel a certain way, i.e., Rappaport, who I was actually talking to people with, I associate outside of Sports City, saying you got to see what Rappaport is up to. Rappaport is a New York Knicks fan. So he's getting Kevin Durant to take the bait, and Durant took the bait and went crazy with it. So it's like, KD, like, you got to find something else to do while you're injured and out. Like, you have millions and millions of dollars. Like, go to the bank and make an investment. Like, talk about making something better in Seat Pleasant, Maryland. Like, you can't get caught up on Twitter and having this come out. Now, the crazy part about Michael Rappaport is you better believe that every single professional athlete that he knows will be pulling away from him right now. None of your words are secure or mean anything to him if he is willing to expose Kevin Durant to the public. There's no coming back from this. That's a snake in the grass. And I can go in deeper on Michael Rappaport. I understand that he may have took it offensive, but that's something that you guys have an intimate relationship. That should be between y'all. That ain't for the world. That ain't for a social media network or on a DM that he didn't, I think, put out there publicly. That was a message that he received, right? Or that was something that he put on his wall. I don't know exactly how that went, but the words that KD used are utterly ridiculous. Like, KD is... I think he may face a big fine, or I don't know if they're going to suspend him. I hope not, because that takes away from the power that Brooklyn has. But, you know, you wanted to see him come back and be able to ball. But a big bad, I don't even know if I called it a mistake, because he knew what he was doing, being Kevin Durant. But Michael Rappaport, I think across the professional athletes that are playing sports now, you canceled your own self. Like, I feel like you might have put yourself in that harm's way. Kevin Durant, you need somebody in your corner. There's too many yes men, not even. You need all of those yes men away from you, like, or they can't be in your corner. Too many people saying yes to you and not saying no to you is harming you, especially while you're in your early 30s and you're not showing any growth. And you being bored, you're not showing what you're able to do constructively. Is you're sensitive to everything right now. That's bad that Kevin's put himself in this scenario and is going to end up facing a fire. He's in lockstep right now with Donald Sterling. Like, and if he gets canceled out of the league, that'll be a whole nother scenario too. So I feel bad. This could end up being bad karma for Kevin Durant.
I totally agree with you. He's too sensitive, and he has to social media. That is his problem. From the burner account to this, he has got to get off of social media. Even I saw today, you know, Kobe Bryant said if there was social media prevalent like when I was playing, I would have been in trouble too. And it's true. Like, you know, even Michael Jordan, you know, he was protected by the media to a certain extent. And then he, you know, once he started winning, they came after him, and, you know, like with his dad, and then when he went to Atlantic City during the NBA Conference Finals against the Knicks, like, you know, they came after him too, to the point where he had to quit the league. And can you imagine if there was social media then? It's just Kevin is not making good decisions. You're right. He needs better people in his corner because he does have somebody in his corner, a good friend that kind of helps him. But that guy's got to come out and say, hey, man, I don't think you need to be doing that. And listen, let's be clear. Michael Rappaport is a phony for doing this. This was a private message that he leaked to the public. And I don't care if you say, oh, well, I was afraid he was, you know, threatening my family, blah, blah. No, man. I'm sorry, dude. If this was a private message, it didn't have to get out. This is the guy that, you know what, A Tribe Called Quest had a problem with them, the way he edited and filmed the documentary on them, the Beats, Rhymes, and Life documentary, and didn't give them creative control. And Q-Tip was like, I'm not in support of this garbage. So he's had a track record himself of rubbing people the wrong way, what he's doing. So Michael Rappaport is not innocent in this. But Kevin Durant, you have got to get off of social media and make better decisions, because everything should be talking about how you've come back from a horrific injury where you shouldn't have been on the court,
against the Toronto Raptors, tried to play, tore your Achilles, worked your way back, and could have been a most, you know, a comeback player of the year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're talking about this, these tweets. I'm going to spit on your wife and all that. It's just, come on, man. That's not what we want to be talking about. And you hit it on the head, TP. Now you're in Donald Sterling company, because that was a private conversation over the phone that was recorded, and the player said, we know about it. We got to do something. We want him gone. We're not going to play for this guy if he's still in the league. You don't think that can happen to you now because of what you said in a private message to Michael Rappaport? So I hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, how can we not say it's justified? Like, because it's the same scenario. So, Kevin, I hope he comes out and gets in front of this, apologizes, and makes amends, he has to get out in front of this, because the longer this festers, the worse it's going to get for him. And I hope it doesn't. I really hope it doesn't.
Okay, so my position on the situation, honestly, is slightly a little different. For starters, I agree with what you were talking about. I agree with what both of y'all were talking about, honestly, where, you know, Kevin Durant really needs to monitor or have somebody take care of the social media. And, you know, we live in a day and age where that at symbol goes directly to people. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're not robots, they're humans. And whatever the case may be. But for Rap Sheet or whatever, you know, this dude has been known to ruffle a bunch of feathers. He, you know, he says what he wants. He does what he wants. It appears as though he answers to nobody because of it. And honestly, this does not shock me. I don't condone it, but it doesn't shock me. You know, KD needs to do better, obviously, now that it's been leaked or whatever the case may be. It's going to be looked at accordingly and judged. I do agree with you, Barry. He needs to get out and say something, you know, make an apology, whatever the case may be. Don't lie or say, you know, that wasn't me, you know, or whatever the case may be. Reading the text messages and reading the messages, it does, like, you know, it doesn't sound like himself. Like, the messages are back-to-back, and, you know, it just, I mean, I don't want to accuse him of being on, you know, something or liquored up, whatever the case may be, but it just reads funny to me. Like, and it doesn't seem like Kevin Durant would be the type of guy who would just go to that type of level. But I digress, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I think both men need to be held accountable for their actions. Rap Sheet provoked it, you know, he's not innocent at all. But KD, like you alluded to, needs to be held to a higher standard. And again, I'm not ready to cancel KD or whatever the case may be. He does need to, you know, do something to get out in front of it. He does need to say something. He does need to, you know, make a donation or delete social media or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't look good. I'm not going to put him in the Donald Sterling category just yet, but it's trending that direction unless something drastic happens.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't put him in that category, because it's the same thing. I mean, it wasn't racist, but, you know, it's homophobic and misogynistic. It's really bad what he said. So, listen, I hope he doesn't get canceled, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. In this day and age, I really wouldn't be surprised. So I just hope he gets you thought he would learn from it from the burner account. And he's just so sensitive. He just is not the right person to be on social media. You can't change everybody's opinion about you. I can't. I know I got people that hate me. I feel like I'm a good person for the most part, even though I am a villain, but they hate me. So, you know, I can't change their opinion. So I move on. You know what I mean? So he can't change them. He can't make everybody love him. That's what I think he's trying to do at this point. But we do got a caller waiting patiently in queue. I'll bring him in. From the 518, James, Mr. Controversy himself. We had a lot of controversy today. James, how you doing, brother? If you're on mute, Vic, take yourself off mute.
Sorry, I was on mute for a hot minute, so I forgot about it. So I mean, as the resident Russell Westbrook hater, I'm going to jump in very briefly on the previous conversation that Russell Westbrook has always been a great individual player. He has never been a great team player. I know that people are going to like argue that fact, but, and to be fair, I have not watched the NBA in a couple of years. So from my perspective, he could have easily changed and I just not know about it. But when it comes to Russell Westbrook, I've always seen him as a great individual player. And I don't want to make the comparison to Peyton Manning because Peyton, I mean, football is a very different game, but it's the only one I know. Peyton, before he won his championships, it was always the knock on Peyton Manning. Was Peyton Manning had the stats, had the glory for those reasons, but never won a ship. And that was going to plague his career for all of time. He was going to be the next Dan Marino until he went to Denver, until he won the ship with Indianapolis, and then won the ship again with the Denver Broncos. That's just how it went. And I see Russell Westbrook in the same light. He is a great individual player. That's why his career went the way it did, in my belief, is that they shipped out the Oklahoma City Thunder, shipped out James Harden because they saw Russell Westbrook as such a great individual talent that could develop into a team talent. But that's all I'm going to say about Russell Westbrook. I'm going to skip that. To go into the, and I don't know too much about what was said by Kevin Durant, but at the end of the day, when it comes to Kevin Durant, just based off of the blurbs I'm reading as you guys are talking about this, it's bad, but I also think that, and this is going to sound really bad, but I think that misogyny is a part of sports culture to begin with. So to pick on one guy because it became public seems, I mean, don't get me wrong, the homophobic stuff, that is way off board, and I do not condone that. But the slightly misogynistic stuff is something that is pervasive in all of sports. The only difference is that Kevin Durant is in a larger media context as opposed to, which if we're going to fight that battle, I am all for it. We should fight that battle. But the question is this where we want to start that battle? And I don't know. Maybe it is. But that's kind of my thoughts on the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it like, you know, homophobic stuff is a part of culture, not just sports culture. And it's a bad part of culture that needs to get beaten out of our psyche, just like racism does. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that were acceptable 5-10 years ago that are not acceptable now. And looking back on it, how could we think like that? How could we talk like that? You know, we said stuff like that when we were growing up, and, you know, now we said it, it's not appropriate. And you know what? That's good because it does offend somebody. And, you know, so I get that. But, yeah, in that vein, Kevin, man, you just got to be – you can't do it. And you got to be smarter. Even though you think it was a private conversation, I think if anything we have learned in the last few years, there is no such thing as a private conversation – and kind of the privacy of your own home. Like, whatever you're kind of doing is eventually going to come out to light. And it's not okay to talk like that even in private. to think like that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think he meant, like, to be misogynistic or to be homophobic, but that's what you said. And now it's out there, unfortunately, and he's going to have to deal with the consequences. So, I mean, you know,
I think that that's another point, and not to get too political into this, but I have to ask this question to expand on this, and then we can move on, I promise. But is it all right that people who are in the public eye have everything in their lives, even things that they expect to be private, expect to be confidential, to be held in such a public lens? And I say this not because the things that they think and then that they say are not wrong, but I think that if we all held ourselves to that standard, and that even in our most private moments, the most offensive thing that we said, that or the most evil thing that we've said came out to light, I think that we would, if we were held to that standard, we would all be in a lot, and we would all be in similar trouble. And that we have the opportunity to grow. And this is my, but I am afraid that this avenue that we're currently taking does not allow for growth, does not allow for redemption, does not allow for reconciliation, but that once you're canceled for good. And
yeah, I mean, I hate cancel culture. I hate it. I really do. I've said that on other shows, James, and I think, you know, it's the price of fame. But it's also the way of capitalism. Like if the league can still make a profit and make money with Kevin Durant being there after he said all this, he'll still have a job. If the league can't make money, if they start losing sponsors, if they start losing TV revenue and all that stuff, and people stop coming to the arenas because of Kevin Durant and what he said, he'll get canceled. It's a capitalist society. That's how it works. You know what I mean? Like, people should care about what they're saying and how they're presenting themselves. But honestly, you can say certain things and nothing happens. Like, I can tell you there's songs out there that are is wet ass, you know what? And you know what? She hasn't gotten canceled. Like, Cardi B hasn't gotten canceled. Why? Because she doesn't make as much money as the NBA does. Okay, that's the fact. You know what I mean? So it's a capitalist society, and it's about dollars and cents, profits and loss, and if they can't make money with you in place, then you'll get canceled. Disney canceled Gina Carano for her Jewish remarks because they couldn't make money with her to cancel her because what she said was wrong, because she's been saying stuff wrong for months. But it got to the point where they can't make money with her. And that's where we're at in a society. So, that's it. That's all I got.
I didn't mean to stir this political, but
Yeah, exactly. That's the climate we're in. So, I mean, I'm going to switch gears, TP. I'm gonna move away from this. Good discussion. But I want to address the big trade. I don't know if we've ever talked about the big NFL trades that happened between the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Miami Dolphins. So the 49ers went from 14th pick all the way to the number 3 pick. The Dolphins had the number 3 pick, went back to 12, then traded back to get 6. And the Eagles looked like, I guess we don't want to really a high pick. We'll just go back in at number 12 and we'll see what we can do. Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. What are you doing? idiots. I mean, it's a big trade. So now it's the talk of the town. Who will the 49ers pick with that number 3 pick? Will they stick with Jimmy G? Will Jimmy G get traded? Could he possibly get traded back to New England? You are the Dolphins. Who are they picking at number 6? Is it going to be Pitts? Is it going to be Waddle or the kid from LSU? Like, what's going to happen at these picks? I mean, TP, I'll let you bat lead off. I mean, what do you think about that kind of bevy of trades that happened? I think it was in a day span. And where do you think each team is? Where are their mindset right now with those trades going down?
I think the Niners are interested in getting a quarterback, and I don't think they want to lose either out on Fields or Jones. If from what I'm hearing, those are the quarterbacks that they're expected to try to get. If they're not content with what Jimmy G has, and I wonder what they're going to do with Jimmy G, what type of move they're going to make with him after throwing him so much money. Like that's the one thing I'm worried about the Niners. Everybody's so hype on what quarterback they're trying to bring in, but where did Jimmy G go? And does his starter career stop now? Like, is this the end of his run? He got injured in a game against the Lions, what, two or three seasons ago, get to a Super Bowl and laid an egg, and then this year is like the last we see, and that's the end of him. So I'm wondering, you know, what's next about that? Can he entertain the Eagles? Like, do they send him there to be another name down there, which I doubt. The Eagles situation with Jalen Hurts running the show and sending a quarterback behind them, I don't even know if the Eagles are content to even compete right now with the way that they're doing things and letting guys go out of their organization. So it's funny what the Eagles are up to. And Miami, I think Miami's situation is they kind of are, you know, content with what they have. I feel like they constructed it early before all of this movement started happening. So I'm not too keen on which direction are they more focused on loading up that offense or trying to peg some more pieces to that defense to be stout and trying to chase an AFC East run. So that's where I'm at least with the three teams that are mentioned.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Dolphins are thinking, and the Eagles, to be at that matter. But serious, I mean, you saw the trade. You were letting me know as it was happening. What do you think is going through the mind of John Lynch and the, you know, the Dolphins and the Eagles, like with the trades that they made to get into the position that they are at number 3, number 6, and number 12?
You know, with the 49ers, man, here's the thing with them. Like, I think obviously they moved up to secure one of the four quarterbacks. You know, obviously, you know, unless something crazy happens, you know, Trevor Lawrence is gone, and so then the dominoes start happening. Does, you know, the Jets get Zach Wilson, or they fall in love with Justin Fields after his impressive pro day? And you know, so they're going to get one of those, you know, those quarterbacks. The Eagles right now for me are a question mark, because I don't think they know what the heck they want to do. I think they're just making it up as they roll. And the Dolphins, in my honest opinion, are sitting very pretty for the next few years with the assortment of picks that they got. You know, I'm curious to see what they do with them all. They do have some spots to fill. I think they need to get another receiver. I think they need to either solidify the running back or at least get some offensive line to protect the running back, whether they're going to go with Gaskin or whomever they're going to do there. I'm not sold on Tua Tagovailoa being their starting quarterback, but unless they bring in a veteran, he's going to roll into the season as their starter, in my opinion, and we'll see what happens there. The draft next month is going to be so interesting. There's so many, you know, teams with significant needs, but the trade that took place, in my honest opinion, definitely the 49ers tilted their hand. They're going after a quarterback, just no matter which one they get. If I am them, I pray Zach Wilson falls, or I you know, maybe go get a trade like, I'm out on Justin Fields as their quarterback, just for my own, you know, the statistics don't not bear out, in my opinion, as Ohio State quarterbacks that make a transition to the next level, playing quarterback at a high level. So if I'm the 49ers, I definitely do my due diligence before selecting a quarterback. But, again, everybody knows that they're going after a quarterback, it's no matter which one falls.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think the landscape's kind of changed a little bit. I see quarterbacks coming off the board early and often in this draft. Mr. Controversy, James himself, I mean, it was some interesting trades. And now we got the 49ers at 3, we got the Dolphins at 6, the Eagles at 12, looking like they're stacking picks and really just kind of taking a step back and breathing. What do you think is going to happen with the draft now, with the teams in their respective positions?
So let's start with the big interest. The big interest starts with the San Francisco 49ers. They moved up 2-3, but the real question begins, and just about everybody thinks they're going for the quarterback. There is some inkling out in the nether that that they might be going for Ja'Marr Chase, giving them that no doubt number one wide receiver that they don't really have. Like Brandon Ayuk, is he really a true number one wide receiver? Deebo Samuel, is he really a true number one wide receiver? I don't think that San Francisco has that true number one wide receiver, so I'm going to throw that name out there. And they also lost Trent Williams, so Penei Sewell might be in play. But when you make a trade like that for 3 first-round picks, it's for a quarterback. That is the end of the day fact of the matter, is that when you put those 3 first round picks on the table is for a quarterback. So, and this is where like the real intrigue comes, because there are some people that are saying that they're going after Mac Jones. Mac Jones is the closest person that resembles a Kirk Cousins in this draft class. So, and back in the day when we were talking about RG3 as the Washington Redskins pick at number 2, the overwhelming consensus out of Washington was that they did not want RG3 and would rather pick Kirk Cousins later. That Kirk Cousins was the guy that was wanted by Mike Shanahan and his offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. So that puts forward the notion that Mac Jones is the guy that they actually want. But why would they trade up from 12 to 3 if they really wanted Mac Jones?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all, especially if you watch this dude's pro day. If you watch this dude's pro day, Mac Jones looks awful. It was the worst pro day out of any of the top 5 quarterbacks. And I'm adding top 5 because Mac Jones is clearly number 5. Clearly. Mm-hmm. He's like Kirk Cousins, who was a 4th-round pick, by the way. And he is like Andy Dalton, who was a 2nd-round pick. He is not a top 3 guy. By any estimation, from what I've seen on tape, from what I've seen on his pro day, even when he balled out the Senior Bowl, and the Senior Bowl was when Mac Jones was at his best, he was not a top 3 quarterback. Now, I can understand why you don't like Justin Fields. First of all, the Ohio State connection, where it feels as though they're giving them better players than they will eventually hit in the NFL. Same thing's true with Alabama, which is another reason why I don't like Mac Jones. But we'll skip over that for a moment. Also, he has had a couple of games where he's looked really bad. Plus, he has a better time throwing when he is not pressured in the pocket. And though all those things push away from Justin Fields, and I do, or Jason Fields, and I don't believe that will be the pick for San Francisco 49ers either. So the big question is, what is their real plan with Jimmy Garoppolo this year? Are they planning to trade him to a team like, for example, the New England Patriots, who are going to be sitting there waiting for a quarterback, and one's probably not going to come. Even if they decide to go with one of the more prescribed better quarterbacks, Mac Jones is not – if Mac Jones falls past 3, he's going to fall straight out of the first round, and I truly believe that. So – I don't find New England as a landing spot for Mac Jones either. So if that's a possibility for Jimmy Garoppolo to return to New England for a second, a third, and a second next year, that would be like right in the wheelhouse for a Jimmy Garoppolo right now, I think, especially when you're thinking about Sam Darnold being offered up for a third. That's something we may hit later, maybe not. But that's another piece of that puzzle coming together. So honestly, I think they're going to go for the kid from North Dakota. They're going to sit him for a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo and then work Jimmy Garoppolo out next year, kind of in a Patrick Mahomes kind of situation where his cap number is less of a problem and they end up saving a lot more in that situation next year. And we'll also have a lot more cap space to work with to eat that dead cap. So Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback for most of next year until they're knocked out of the playoffs because they're in a really good division. And so that's where I see. As far as the Eagles, they're gathering picks. They know they're going to suck next year. They know they're going to be the last team in the NFC East this year, as bad as that division is. And they are planning for 2022 to build that team around Jalen Hurts and find out what they have in him before he starts getting expensive. And as far as the Miami Dolphins, they handled this masterfully. That, like, everything that the Miami Dolphins done since they've hired their new general manager has been top-tier, god-tier management of that, of the salary cap situation, of the trade situation, of the draft situation. They've hit all of those notes and have hit it very well. So they have a want for a wide receiver. They need another pass catcher to carry Tua Tagovailoa. They know that Tua's probably not that good. That's why he's been started, then benched, then started, then benched. So they want to give Tua no excuses this year while he's still cheap and still has some market to trade him just in case he sucks this year. 2 years in, you can probably trade him. You can't trade him year three, year four, and this is what the Jets are seeing with the Sam Darnold situation, why they're offering him up for, once again, a third. As far as the Dolphins are concerned, they're going to give him one of those top three wide receivers or Kyle Pitts, the top tight end on the board, and that's what's going to happen at six. And in the meantime, they bet on themselves, so they bet on themselves to have a better record than the San Francisco 49ers next year, which is why they kept the Niners pick and not their own pick for next year. And then they have two first-round picks the year after, and an extra third next year as well. So they have given themselves a lot of draft capital to try to replicate what the Browns did over the past 3 years to get themselves into playoff contention. So that's, like, the overview of what I see going on as far as those three teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot, and it's a lot to unpack. But, yeah, the gist of it, Jimmy G ain't going to be in San Francisco past this year. I think he's the starter this year, but they're going to be grooming a quarterback to take over. You can trade that contract next year, and he'll move on. Listen, he said it yesterday on the baseball show, the roundtable show. The best ability is availability. He's missed, I think, what, 23 of the 28 games? Or something like that, some crazy number like that. He's just not on the field. You can't rely on him to be there. And, you know, when he plays, he plays well, and he gets his team in a position to win games, get to the playoffs, and he took them to the Super Bowl. But he hasn't been available. And you know what? You can't bank on a guy like that. So Justin Fields can make all the throws. He's mobile. He's got a strong arm. He will be a San Francisco 49er market, and he will be the starter, if not this year. Sometime this year, next year for sure, he'll be the starter. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits a whole year, they groom him, and he takes over. Listen, I do have problems with Ohio State quarterbacks. They don't pan out, but I like Justin Fields. I think he can play, and I think he can play in this league. So that's what I think. The Dolphins, you're right. I think they've done a great job on gathering picks. They had three first-round picks last year. They got two this year.
I think they go offense, though. I think they get one of the receivers. If Jamar's there from LSU, they'll get him. But honestly, I doubt he's going to be there. I honestly think he's going to go to reunite with Burrow in Cincinnati because, you know, they watch A.J. Green go. If A.J. Green was still there, I think they go offensive lineman. They get the kid from Oregon, Snell. But now that Green is gone, Chase is in, and you reunite him with Burrow, and away you go. So if that's the case, I think the Dolphins go receiver with Smith, or they go Pitts, Kyle Pitts, best tight end in the draft and that we've seen in a while. So that's what I think. The Eagles, oh boy. I know a couple Eagle fans. I don't pray for you. I don't really care. I can laugh just as hard as I do when the Cowboys make a mistake. So, you know, I hope you like picking 12. You know, I hope you find what you're looking for. You know, I don't care what you, no, I'm kidding. I think they need talent everywhere. So anybody that's available is what they'll get. If there's a lineman that's there, they'll pick them up. If there's a cornerback, if there's a receiver, they need receiver help in the worst way. But I think the top receivers and Chase, Smith and Waddle will be gone by then. So I think they draft themselves out of getting a dynamic receiver. What a surprise. Sirius brought it up today that, you know, they had chances to draft some really good receivers and they got crap. So I'm not surprised that they traded themselves out of the top 10 to not get one of the top receivers that are in this draft. So, you know, typical Eagles, you know, whatever. So,
I want to throw one name out there just because I just thought of it. There's two guys that probably might be there at 12 at the at the defensive back position, Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn. Could they be going defense?
Surtain will not be there. If Surtain makes it past Dallas, everybody in Dallas needs to get fired. There's no way he gets past Dallas. That is a clear need in Dallas. That is the best cornerback in this draft. If Jerry Jones can't see that, I mean, you know, this is the guy that doesn't have Jimmy Johnson in the hall, in the Ring of Honor. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses it. But if Surtain is not picked up at number 10 by the Dallas Cowboys, if we're not reading that card, it says the Dallas Cowboys select Patrick Surtain II from Alabama, then you know what? They deserve their fate. I'll just put it there.
No doubt.
And who was the other one?
JC
Horn. Intriguing name. I think, listen, the Eagles need a lot of help in a lot of different positions. It wouldn't be a bad thing to start with him when he go to South Carolina. So it wouldn't be a bad choice to have him there. But they need so much help. I mean, they really need talent on offense, and that's what really kind of stands out to me. Like, they got a quarterback that they believe in, right? So they need to surround him with talent, and there is no talent, in my opinion. They got guys off the scrap heap playing receiver and running back. So to push themselves out of that, it would have been a home run to get Waddle or Smith from Alabama, and now they're just going to get a cornerback that's pretty good, but, I mean, doesn't solve the problem that they don't have offensive talent. So, I mean, I don't know, TP or Sirius, if you guys got an opinion on what the Eagles are possibly might get with those cornerbacks, but I honestly think that they need a receiver help, and they just pulled out.
They just lost a ton of receivers. They definitely need to go receiver, without question. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, these guys are gone. Like, they got to fill those holes, especially for a quarterback that's ready to run if he don't see nothing. So he's going to be ready to take off and run, and you're going to put him in harm's way. So, like, ultimately, they got to go get somebody that makes a play. At least that's how I feel.
Where did DeSean Jackson go to? He went to
He's in the Rams. He went to the Rams.
Rams, yeah, the Rams. I mean, I mean, he was getting older, but yeah, I agree with you, TP. They need talent. They need talent, and you know,
they need a bunch of things. Like, so here's the deal: like, if Jerry Jones does Jerry Jones type stuff and passes on Sertan, you know, Jalen Mills is gone. You know what I'm saying? They need defensive secondary. Like, you can literally throw a dart at any position on a dartboard and make a case that the Philadelphia Eagles need somebody there. And, you know, this draft, not like last year, but this draft is loaded with talent across the board. You know, Micah Parsons, the outstanding linebacker from Penn State, you know, it's probably going to be available right there. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. there are so many people that the Philadelphia Eagles need. So, essentially, you know, with them being in a position that they're in, they're going to kind of let the board dictate, you know, what they do, where they go, what team pick in front of them. And honestly, you know, you can get any type of person that you would necessarily need at that spot. So as much as I didn't understand it when they made the move, you know, I kind of get it, you know, from the standpoint that you trade back, you still address the area of need, plus you acquire, you know, another pick later on. Again, I get it, but there are so many different needs. You know, we could sit here for the last 9 minutes of the show and go into overtime and break down what the Eagles' problem is. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, keep in mind, my wife's an Eagles fan. I hear it every day.
I don't pray for Eagles fans. I bathe in their misery because they've made me miserable my life. So I'm sure your wife is a beautiful person, serious, but Eagles fans, eh. Yeah, I don't really.
She offered me a son to be an Eagles fan, so, I mean, she cannot be all bad.
Yeah, I mean,
I would say that if you know, people go to an Eagles game and not go to Ford Field at all, but, you know what I'm saying, they check out the link. You know what I'm saying? So I already know.
We did that on a Sunday. Like, the transfer paper is in there, James. You're officially an Eagles fan,
it's
bro.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
I mean, if you go to an Eagles game, you better bring a lawyer with you because there's a good chance you'll get arrested for something.
You'll be wearing that Eagles green. You'll be fine. It's only opposing team fans that get arrested. You know what I'm saying? You're right in lockstep.
I mean, there are some good receivers after the big three. Elijah Moore from Ole Miss is a name that is kind of getting floated around, and Rondale Moore from Purdue. But those guys are like second class to me. I mean, you just have your chance to get a receiver that could be a top receiver for 10 years at least, and you traded back. I just don't get it. So that kind of bothers me. But yeah, I mean, they need talent all over the place. You know, I agree.
And,
you know,
and I agree with you. Like, this is why I think they're going somewhere other than wide receiver, because none of the next set of guys is worthy of like 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, maybe Jalen Waddle finds his way down to 12, but after Jalen Waddle, like, Rondale Moore is a 5'9" dude. Like, he is not a guy.
I'm scared of
and a lot of injury concerns. So he's not a guy that I would be picking in the top 12.
Which one is that?
You know, that's Rondale Moore's Purdue's dude. So Kadarius Toney, once again, not a guy I'd be picking in the top 12. Like, when I think about him, I think about, like, way back at the beginning of the draft process, what I was thinking about him maybe as a Pittsburgh Steeler to take the place of Juju Smith-Schuster, but not a guy that I'd be picking in the top 15. So that's why I'm thinking they have to be going somewhere else. But I just don't know who that person is. It has to be somebody on the defensive side of the ball. And
yeah,
that's the only thing I see. And then when you're looking, because the wide receiver class is top heavy, like the top three guys are amazing, but the next set of guys are like second round guys in my mind. And that's when you start looking at those guys. Second, third, fourth, fifth round guys are all like solid prospects, and where you could find a really good nickel or a, not nickel, a slot wide receiver in that back half of the draft and not have to worry about it in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, I mean, there's good receivers. I mean, I don't want to say that they're bad. I mean, I like the other kid from LSU, Terrence Marshall. I like Tony from Florida. I do like Bateman from Minnesota. They can play, but we're talking about some really, really good talent. I mean, it's not as deep as last year's receiver class was ridiculous. There were receivers all through the draft, and how the Jets did not get one of those kids boggles my mind. So Mims is good. Mims is good, but they had a chance somebody really good. You know what I mean? Like really good. And they didn't do it. And then, you know, then they wonder why Sam Darnold is on his way out the door, because you didn't give him the better receiver. You know what I mean? So whatever. But that's my Jets. I feel bad for my dad.
Sam Darnold saw too many ghosts. That's why he don't
go that. That's the next question.
And they want Holy.
I do want to throw this out there just in the last, like, 5 minutes. Do you trade if it's your team? I know everybody's team here, except for Mike's, I don't have one, has a team that has a need for a quarterback. Do you trade for Sam Darnold for a third rounder? That's what I've been hearing.
No.
Third rounder is the asking price.
No.
I think there's some teams that would do it. The Steelers would do it for a third rounder to get his success.
No, we won't.
I've seen some good things from Sam Darnold, and I've seen some bad, but I've seen him miscoach. He was coached by one of the worst coaches in the league, okay, and Adam Gase. They surrounded him with absolutely no talent to succeed. And an offensive line that was horrible that got him killed. You put him on a better team, I bet you he could play a little bit better than he's been playing in New York. That's all I'm going to say. But if I was the Steelers, third round is maybe a little high, but if I could have him sit for a year, learn under Ben, and then have him take over with some good young talent with a good coach that can coach him, I'd sign up for that.
Oh, here is, I mean, since we're talking Pittsburgh, here's my issue with that. Okay, you have Mason Rudolph there, who's going to get the opportunity next year. Right?
Oh,
you
God.
Also have a one. Hear me out. So you also have a Dwayne Haskins, an Ohio State quarterback once again, which I can't stand, but I digress. Sitting there as well. We are either going to strike gold with those two guys, or we're going to be picking in the top 10 in 2023 anyway. So why give up an asset for a year rental for somebody else where we can go into the draft in 2023 and, you know, select a successor and have a higher opportunity to do that? Like, if you give up a third-round draft for Sam Darnold, you're going to have to give him an extension on the contract. You're going to have to extend them.
But I mean, the contracts are a lot worse for backup.
For quarterback?
Yeah, you said they're a lot worse. I mean,
oh yeah, totally. Like,
we're paying $2.5 million for two guys.
They shouldn't be in the league.
That's another conversation. That's another conversation for another day. But Dwayne Haskins right now is making $700,000. Mason Rudolph is making $1.2 million. And those are your two backups to, you know, obviously, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know,
as far as quarterbacks go, $1.2 million is like beyond cheap.
That's $20.
That's like rookie quarterback. That's beyond rookie quarterback cheap.
Yeah, that's parking meter money. So, TP, I mean, if you were Detroit, Detroit's at 7. I really want them to get a receiver. But, I mean, do you draft a quarterback? Do you trade a pick to get maybe a Sam Darnold? Like, what do you think Detroit should do?
You said no, Sam Darnold's not the move. Like, his career shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's done. It's between receiver or quarterback for me. Because you got to see what's going to happen with Goff. They got to put an investment in a quarterback. Like, Chase Daniel is going too, so they letting them know that they're going after a quarterback. And the receiver position is open right now. It's question mark on with losing not only Galladay but Marvin Jones as well, and losing Hall also. So they got to fill that void at receiver as well. If they were to go receiver, if Devontae's there, they got to get him, or Waddle. But I'd rather Devontae because he's the one that just had the good season without injury. And if it was quarterback, I'm hoping Wilson drops, but they're saying the Jets are going to end up getting Wilson. So that's something that I'm concerned about, and who would end up being left around 7 at that quarterback position.
Let me ask you this. If Jason or Justin Fields, let's say that Lawrence is gone, he'll definitely be gone. Wilson's gone, he'll definitely be gone. And then let's say that San Francisco goes crazy, does Mac Jones, and Atlanta goes Trey Lance. So it's Justin Fields or nobody. SF. What's your thought on that?
They were already talking about trying to get him, so I think they will pull the trigger if Justin's there. If he's at 7, they'll go get him. But if it's between Justin or Devontae, that's a toss-up. Like, they could go either or. I think they probably will go after Devontae and try to get a quarterback later. But for me, I'd rather get one of these bigger names to try to carry the organization if Goff don't really pan out for at least the next 2 to 3 seasons.
I mean, I think Goff can succeed. I think he gets a bad rap. I think it was a bad marriage with him and McVay at the end. Like, I've seen reports saying, like, how toxic that relationship was.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like it was bad between him and McVay. I agree 100%.
Yeah. It was toxic, and it got really bad. So I think even though Detroit isn't as talented as the Rams, I think a new scenery is going to help him a lot, and hopefully a coach that can kind of, you know, listen, he's a little bit more sensitive. You can't be hard on him like McVay was, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's not like you got to coddle him, but you just have to treat him differently. Nobody, you know, Lawrence Taylor could get yelled at by Bill Parcells and can take it. Some guys couldn't take it. But, you know, those good coaches know how to interact with each player differently and get the most out of them. So hopefully that happens in Detroit. And hopefully – I think he could stick. I think he can stick in Detroit. So, honestly – Even if Fields is there, I gotta go talent. I gotta get the receiver. I can't pass on those guys. I think Waddle is better than Smith, but to TP's point, Smith is healthier. You know what I mean? He played the full season, and you know he put up the stats. So, but either guy, give me one or give me both. I was hoping one of them would fall to New York, but that don't look like it's gonna happen. But yeah. I don't know how you pass on those guys, but I got to get closed out. Great show, boys, talking NBA and college basketball and pros. Mr. Controversy coming in here, stirring the pot with his NFL talk. Give me a close out. Give me a plug, and let's close these dishes up.
Love you guys, as always. Can't wait till the next time. NFL draft is coming quick. Can't wait. Till then, talk to you guys later. Peace.
All right, thank you, James. Yeah, we definitely got to do something for the draft. I think that at least the first round, that'll be fun to go back and forth on that. Sirius, thank you for calling in, brother. Give me a close, give me a plug, and then we'll close this chapter up for today.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703. Man, such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition. Man, definitely check us out, man. We're doing big things and blogs and everything on the website. Such a pleasure, man. I love doing this thing, man. I'll be good.
All right. Yeah, listen, the website we're on, you know, new blog. I just actually put one up today talking about, you know, we're prepping for the MLB season. We had the roundtable yesterday with Nate and Dave. They're starting their show tomorrow. Please come support them. The Baseball Buffet is back, talking all things baseball. Nate actually just posted an article about who he his rookie to watch, who he likes as rookies. So go read that. I have an article about some of my favorite off-season acquisitions and teams that lost some players. So go read that. So get to the website, the blogs, the interviews, all that good stuff. We're doing big things. Get the merchandise. We got shirts. We got a lot of cool stuff out there. So definitely go get that. The Villain is out. TP, you know what to do, my big brother. Let's close this kitchen up.
Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, chef, chef. Sports City, Sports City, chef, chef. Yeah. Cabs. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.